The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who do not or have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom, and welcome to everyone.
Shalom, and welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. Let us start this session in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that cannot be pronounced, this external world, and those who have received it, if they meditate on it constantly and follow the eternal divine path and stay to the end, they will be liberated to God and become a son and in his image. And that is the goal of the life and the revelation that has been given by God to humanity, and the way has been given to man to come together, create communities of light, and therefore bring the unity that humanity needs to recognize and become it. As you all know, this is the room for conversation with me. The whole teachings and the revelation has been given, and it's done, it's finished, it's perfected. Of course, still every week we are added to, and many people come and many people recognize the beauty and the strength and the truth in this revelation, and many workers are helping to see this mission is spread in a greater degree. We now have a streaming video that it is streamed 24 hours a day. You can go to the website and see it, and it is being perfected, so you can have that also as a part of mission arsenal to reach humanity. Of course, we hope one day we can reach in many other ways, in television, in radio, in bulletin boards, in creating communities and having permanent buildings that people can come and see and study and understand this teaching in a greater degree. We also have a new contact in South Florida. We welcome her to the mission. Hopefully, people in Florida come together and in a way that God had a plan for that state, as that was the first state that I went to and was invited to give a lecture. And therefore, it seems, you know, more people in that state come to the mission and see the truth. And therefore, hopefully, the contacts in that state come together also and spread the mission to their state and also in the whole United States and the world. And also, we have had some new information by some Baha'i friends that it's been put in the website. And if you go to the more news in website under frequently asked question or news, you can access that, and there are interesting tidbits that some of our Baha'i friends have recognized and again reconfirming to them and everybody that indeed God is with this mission and has sent this revelation to humanity, and we all have to come to Him and listen to God, listen to His revelation. He chose Abraham, He chose Abram, He created the history, and now He's revealed the eternal divine path, and there is nothing comparable with the work of God that brought us to this point of understanding the last revelation and the mystery that God has been kept even from great prophets, and now it's revealed to you, and you are indeed very blessed that you know what God's plan was, how you can create peace and communities of light on earth and bring unity to humanity. Now you can listen to a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, no matter what religion they are, and see where they fall and how God meant them to be a part of a greater truth. And therefore you can relate to everyone without prejudice or without categorizing them or being narrow to one religion, and therefore your religion is the best and everybody else is wrong, when God clearly says that He will send seventh angel, seventh revelation, and He is a mystery until the last revelation comes. When God did not reveal, or even if He revealed this vision, He told the prophets, don't write it down, don't reveal it to the rest of humanity. So He kept it a mystery, and now many people who have only one religion, they condemn other religions because their view is narrow and they don't know the mystery of God and the last revelation and what God was doing, and therefore they are creating separation and destruction and wars and every problem that we see on earth, and it's getting worse. Noah came, he brought the mystical path and start a part of God's plan. When Abraham came, he started the other part of the plan. And when Christ came, he finished the choosing of the people that created the Old Testament, but they still do not want to accept God's will, and they do not want to accept that Christ was the Shiloh, and He came, and as the prophecy went, when He comes, the kingdom will be taken away from them and will be given to another nation. When Muhammad came, he brought the greater truth and finished other revelation before it, but still other revelation are not accepting this truth, and therefore still they are opposing Islam and Islam opposing them. And of course, those all revelation before it were a part of the truth, and therefore they cannot unify because they have only one-seventh of the truth. When Bab and Baha came, they brought the Baha'i teaching, and they had finished, you know, what was before them. They weren't accepted, and still they have a problem and all that. Now this revelation comes, and it unifies both plan of God, of the mystical path, and the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teachings, and unify many, many things for humanity, and shows how God's revelation have come to man. And therefore, this is the revelation which has finished all revelation before it, and now we have to let humanity know each of them are a part of the truth. We can see the unity and the last vision of God is on earth. We are at the point after the revelation of the seventh seal, or chapter 5 of Revelation, when the seventh seal has come, the seventh angel has come, this is the time for the great Babylon to fall and the destruction come to the worldly ideas, and the godly ideas replace them with truth, His laws, understanding of His plan and how it works. No matter what a good human idea are out there, the God idea is the only idea which will work. The elects and those who have been meditating and progressing all to this point now are on earth, and they are called to recognize these truths and see this revelation and unity and come and join us and prepare the way for the coming of the kingdom. Of course, as we have realized, it is not an easy job to attract the elects, and those even who call themselves elects do not involve or engage in the mission in the degree that we like them to, but at the same time, that is okay. That's why God knew this revelation will call the elect, but at the same time, the world is strong, Maya is powerful, and who knows, maybe many of the elects have not even been born yet, and this revelation is in the infancy, and the people who come to it, they might be very high souls, but at the same time, they are being bombarded with the propaganda of this world and worldly concerns, and therefore they cannot completely dedicate themselves to it. But that is what it takes. It takes 144,000 complete dedicated people whose visions and focus is 100% on the mission and on getting it done. They are the one that called Paravipras, and the characteristics of the Paravipras are explained in our teachings many times, and explains those who follow eternal divine path see this vision and dedicate their lives completely to it. And of course, we need a great number of supporters that support these 144,000 so they can come with complete purity and oneness to become one with the mission and work with me, and we'll work together to divide the earth in 12 sections or 24 sections. It depends, you know, what is decided, and eventually spread the facilitating body to every corner on earth. And we don't have even really to do anything. The only things we have to do to wait and watch and increase and create an efficient organization based on God's words, and wait until all these religions and man-made ideas destroy themselves. That's what happened to Babylon the Great. It was not Christ destroyed it. It was destroyed by itself because it was not based on the grace and the word of God and the understanding of his laws. And therefore, the destruction will come to those who do not consider God's words and spirit in their lives, in their society, in their systems, and everything that God has been sending to humanity. So, we are not opposed to anybody. We are not revolutionary people. We are not going to take gun and become terrorists or this and that. We have just to create an environment and an organization that can reach and preach and make this revelation understood with many people. There are even countries that even if they see the vision, they cannot profess it or accept it because that is against the law of the land. If you are not the specific religions that they espouse, you are a fair game for them. Therefore, you can see the freedom of expression or ideas is not accepted or preached in those places. And even in those places that freedom of expression and ideas are accepted, the propaganda of those places in such a way that God's ideas are not really that much preached. So therefore we can see the whole world is lost in Maya and putting God out of everything. But our salvation and our faith is that God has been saying that he will do all these things. He has done them. And he also says that his kingdom will come, so it will. Therefore, we are not counting who comes, who goes, who joins the mission, who doesn't join the mission. Is it going slow or is it going fast? Doesn't really matter. The only thing we have to prove to ourselves is this is really is from God. It was prophesied to come. He said there is going to be seven revelation, and there is going to be seventh angel. And when the last book is opened, it reveals the mystery of God and opens the seven seals and shows how the kingdom should come or will come. Therefore, by understanding this, we are not depressed or anxious who comes and who goes or what happens in the mission or not. The only thing is that we have to create that faith in ourselves that we know, yes, indeed, it will happen, and therefore we will be patient, we work on ourselves and purify ourselves and become more dedicated to what is being revealed to us, and therefore we can become a one-pointed, focused 100% on God's words and His plan. And only His plan and His words will work. Any other ideas, no matter how wonderful they look to us, still it is not in the Scriptures and the Word of God. Therefore, we have to completely see, yes, indeed, that's what God said is going to happen. That's what is going to happen. So it is absolute meditation and realization of what we are here for and what we are called for. If we can see that vision and we completely understand that our dedication has to be 100% wherever we are, we can accomplish this. Mission has been given so many tools, and each tool might appeal to some people and other tools might not appeal to them, but all of them are effective and will affect a part of your beings that you might not even knew about it. Therefore, dancing, chanting, meditation, concentration, contemplation, gazing at the greatest sign, creation of the communities of light, satsang, service, meditation, 15 commandments, 33 virtues, and all the things that's been given is to envelop you into God and into a higher level of thinking and bring your energy to a higher level of beings instead of dragging you down to the level that this world is trying to bring humanity to. Higher level of thinking is being dragged to a very low level, therefore high level of thinking actually is discouraged in many, many ways. But this mission and God is high. His highness means high level of thought and being and life that we put its foundation based on this higher thought and being. And therefore, we will not be dragged to the world and lower level. And all these techniques are given to you for those purposes, but for those reasons, to experience God. Because as we said, if you have not experienced God, you have religion, but if you experience God, you have direct relationship with God. If you do not have direct relationship with God, then you do not know God, and you just talk about the things that the preacher tells you, or you listen to other people to believe something that they give you, and you believe on them, and you become a religious person who believes in a bunch of dogmas, but you have never experienced God yourself. These techniques are given for you to experience God directly, and of course, when you experience God, there is no longer it's a religion, it's a truth, it is something that you know exists, and when you read this revelation, you realize, yes, indeed, God is everything. And everything is created by God, from God, and will return into God. And therefore, how can there be separation and disunity? How can we even consider one religion is greater than other, or one is better than the other one, and this and that? And therefore, we can completely overcome those problems. Amina is asking, Salam Maitreya, why do we visualize the blue light during the meditation? And why does this light get changed to white? The color of blue is a very relaxing color. If you want to having a relaxing room, they used to color it in blue. And therefore, when you see the blue light there, you will become more relaxed and prepared for the meditation. And you see the blue light, and it's a misty blue light, which is very relaxing. And you enter that light to meditate. And therefore, when it enters your body, each visualization of that blue light will relax different part of your body until you reach the sixth chakra. Of course, in sixth chakra, it is not really blue light. It is a white, brilliant light. If you eventually see that third eye, it really looks like an eye. It has a very bright center, and then it has a dark area outside, and sometimes it changes and the center become dark and the outside become bright light. If you go to our website, I think we have the third eye there. In the left side, the goal of the life, you click on it, you will see the third eye, which shows very brilliant light in the center. Those who have seen the third eye, they become surprised how beautiful it is, and some people even become completely mesmerized with it, and they stop meditating and going farther, and they become completely absorbed to themselves and the third eye, and they become lost. Therefore, their goal is not to see the third eye. The goal is not to become the third eye or open the third eye. If it opens, it's fine. Then you can see the spirit. You can see many things. You can see energy of the people. You can see the aura of the people. You can feel many spiritual things and the different level of consciousness each person is. A lot of cities or powers will be coming to you, but those are not the goal, as we have discussed it many times. The goal is to reach pure consciousness or one with God and create the communities of light, bring the peace on earth, become compassionate, and create the qualities of God. And therefore, those are the reasons for seeing the blue light. It's not only blue light, it is the misty blue light, which is very relaxing. If you're not relaxed, if you drink a lot of coffee, or you drink a lot of wine or alcohol, and your consciousness is not calm, you become like a lake that has a lot of waves on it, and God as a moon in the sky, and if you want to see the moon in the lake, you cannot. It breaks to millions of pieces, and you never realize God or the self. But if you relax yourself, if you let the blue light come through and relaxes your body, and you reach a point that your consciousness is still, that you become like a still lake, that the moon in the sky will reflect in yourself, and you and God can become one and experience God. And therefore, that is the goal. The goal is to experience and have a direct relationship with God. To do that, the relaxation techniques and coming to a still mind is paramount. And the word or the holy name is the meditation process that really does not need a formal meditation. Of course, formal meditation is great. Anybody who has time for it, they should do it. But the word is constantly going on within us, and those who have heard it and know it and were initiated with it, they can meditate 24 hours a day constantly and therefore be with God and the stillness of the mind all the time. That is the goal. There is a point that you are meditating 24 hours a day, and when you sit in the formal meditation, you go right to the center of the universe, to the blue light, enter it, and you start doing the process and finish it without being distracted. Another reason for that process is that if your mind is not disciplined to go through the process, you start doing the process, but many times in the process, your mind is going to wander and start thinking about something else. and it teaches you how to bring the mind back to the meditation, and therefore it is kind of a discipline for the mind not to wander but come back, and you gaining power and strength over your mind more and more. Every time your mind wanders and you gently bring it back to the process, anytime your mind wanders, you gently bring it back to the mantra and your meditation. Each time you do that, you are telling your mind, I'm not going to listen to you. You are going to listen to me. But the mind has been running your life for many lifetimes, and it does not want to give up. That is why your mind is still going to wander away, and you have to discipline it, going, coming back and back, and eventually at one point it just gives up. And therefore, your mind becomes completely still, and the reflection of God can be seen in that still mind. And therefore, the technique that has been given have many reasons for it, and it has a strong and powerful effect in the person. And people who will meditate twice a day regularly with that technique and the universal mantra, they will greatly benefit from this meditation. Of course, greater than that, of course, is the word that has been given to the people who will be initiated. And that word, of course, constantly going on in the person, and formal meditation is not that paramount because you can hear the word all the time. In Hari Om Sharyana, if you're meditating, you can sing it, you can chant it, you can dance with it. So there's many, many ways to use that mantra. So that, I hope that answers your question. Again, Namena asking, what should a person do who relaxes too easily into meditation and tends to fall asleep? Would another color be beneficial? Well, such a person should sit in the lotus pose and not to lie down or sit in a place that they can put their back on the wall or somewhere that they can fall asleep. That is why the lotus pose has been recommended with a lot of teachers, because when you're in a lotus pose, if you fall asleep, you fall over and you wake up, and therefore you will not stay in a sleep state. Therefore, don't put your back to the wall. Don't lie down on the floor or put your feet up on the desk that makes you completely relaxed while sitting on the chair. Anything that makes you fall asleep and therefore not meditating should be avoided. And the best way, if you can, sit on the lotus pose. Of course, you don't have to sit completely full lotus pose. If you can't, you can see half a lotus pose or just cross legs. If you also practice yoga, little by little you reach a point that you are or will be able to sit in a full lotus pose, which is the best way to sit and meditate. Therefore, there is many, many levels has been given for the people who want to meditate. Of course, the best is in a full lotus pose on the ground without your back being to anything that can fall asleep. That is, of course, the ultimate. The mission always give a range of possibilities, not ultimate, which is desired to be done. Therefore, some people might even sit in the chair and do the reminder if they cannot bend back and forth, if they're old and their skeleton is not as flexible as a young person. Mission is very flexible mission. It gives everybody a chance to experience God. Therefore, the best way is to do that, but if you cannot sit just cross-legged with no possibility for you falling asleep, and if you fall asleep, of course you fall and you wake up. Falling asleep is a trick of the mind to avoid and fight back so you won't have the power and ability to gain power over your mind. The body tells you, yeah, you're really sleepy, fall asleep, don't meditate, don't follow what Maitreya said in your meditation. So it's a trick that is tricking you not to do what is required to be done. Therefore, fight back, you know, find a technique that a mind cannot trick you. Sitting in the cross leg or lotus pose is one of them. It makes you not to fall asleep, and the mind after a while gives up because it realizes that you're not going to listen to it anymore. Of course, it's going to go and find another trick. Might you sit there and you're not falling asleep anymore, but mind is telling you, you're hungry. Come on, go eat. It's not time to meditate. You're really, really hungry. It's time to go to eat. Or your mind wonders about what you did last night and this and that and doesn't let you go back to the meditation. The whole idea is to sit in a position that you do not fall asleep. You do the process to the end. You meditate on the mantra, and then you do the process all the way back to your body. Of course, it is easier said than done. I know it is hard, but at the same time, that is the way you gain power over your mind, little by little. And one day you sit, you go through the process, you meditate, and you have a wonderful meditation, and you come back to your body and say, wow, that was great. That's the meditation that I want. But even if you're not meditating well and your meditation is in a struggle, that also is good. That means that a lot of impurity is being purified in you, and therefore you are struggling with meditation. So keep meditating anyway. So do not give up easily and be sincere in your meditation. It is better to be sincere than serious. There are a lot of people who seem to be serious, but they are not completely dedicated. Their seriousness has some flaws, but if you are sincere, you are relaxed, and you want to know the truth and what God has given to you, and therefore you become a seeker. As serious people, sometimes they are not sincere as they project. So be sincere, meditate sincerely, but relax. And if you are struggling, that's okay. If your meditation was the worst ever, that's fine. That's still good. But if meditation is good, say thanks God for the wonderful meditation and continue meditating. And hopefully one day in the future, we can have classes of meditation in the schools, and the children from 5 years old can start meditating. Children should not do yoga until they are 12 years old because their chakras are not completely formed yet, but they can do mild exercises. But they can meditate after 5 because the ego will develop when the child is 5 years old, and in that time they can meditate and start gaining control over the mind in that very young age. We even have a walking meditation with Hari Om Shri Ang Om Nam Kevalam that can be taught to the children. They can walk and repeat mantra with each step and think about the meaning of the mantra, which is the goal of the life is to become divine. That divinity, God is everything. Even if humanity just realized this mantra and its meaning, they will bring greater peace among themselves. Because what is the goal of the life? The goal of the life is not to become a doctor or professor or rich or have all the material things and all the things that we are taught. That is the goal of the life, to get higher education, to have this job, to have that much money, to have this kind of car and a house and all those material things. That's not the goal of the life. God clearly says the goal of the life is to become divine. To become divine means to become one with God, to follow eternal divine path, to become a part of God's plan and revelation, and eventually reach pure consciousness. We have to create an environment that everybody has, the physiological and safety need is being taken care of. It should stop wars and destruction and bring peace on earth and unity among humans. We have to reach to a space so we can spread out, and therefore we are not choked with the population on earth. And eventually we all realize we have only one God, that He has been sending all this revelation to humanity. We are one. We are not separated. We only have one God. There is not 2, 3, 4, 10, or 100. There is only one Spirit, and that Spirit is within us. Each of us have a spark of God, and we say our salutation to that spark in every individual and beings, and therefore there is no animosity among us. We are a part of God and united in Him. He is the only thing that unites and the only thing can bring peace. Otherwise, there is ego, and ego, of course, do not unify. It brings destruction. It sees itself to be lonely, alone, misunderstood, and nobody cares. When we are one with God and the other person is one with God, then we don't seek understanding, we seek to understand. And therefore, we will overcome many egos' problem that brings us to the self-destruction and destruction on humanity. So, focusing on God only brings the unity, and ego brings destruction and disunity. And therefore, any religion says, no, my religion is better than other, it's an ego trip. It is not really from God. It's man-made. It is dogma. It is not based on a spirit of God. But that religion that says, no, all the religions have come from God, and every man have the spark of God in them, is the religion have come from God. Even there are religion now on earth that they cannot even conceive that God is everything, that they cannot even accept that a spark of God is in them. When their mystical part telling them, yes, it is, I can become one with God. But they cannot understand their mystical part of their own teachings, and they teach men separation and disunity and destruction, when the only thing they have to realize is God is in every individual, no matter what kind of religion, what kind of the race, nationality, gender. They have that spark in them. They are a part of God and are brothers and sisters, and therefore this view, again, you can be unified. You cannot be unified with your partner. You cannot be unified with your children. You cannot be unified with your neighbor if both of you are not connected to God and is focused on God and see the spark of God in other person. If you see the spark of God in other person, but the other person doesn't see that spark in God in themselves, still it is very hard to become one. So it takes two to tango, and it takes two or more to become one with God in order to become one with each other. Therefore, the way of becoming united, the way of stopping destruction, the way of peace is been given by realizing that we all have to become united by God, and therefore we can be united. Otherwise, our ego is in the way. We will see ourselves a victim, a person nobody understands, nobody cares, and nobody really is interested in us. When we are one with God, we don't need those things because God will fill us up, and we no longer crave for those things, and we will create self-pity on ourselves, but we will create the love of God for ourselves, and we see our life is indeed filled up with the beauty of God, and therefore we will become beautiful ourselves, and the beauty inside, of course, reflects itself to the beauty outside, and many will see it and appreciate it, and therefore we can become one with those also have that light in them and are one with God. And the more we become one, of course, greater we will create the environment that is called the Comings of Light. Comings of Light is the salvation of man. It is the unification of our religion. It's based on these teachings and this understanding. It is not a destructive, disunifying ego trip or based on selfish and self-centered understanding. It's based on we recognize and realize God in ourselves and see what is God's plan and will for me, and be happy what He has for us. Accept that cup. Just like Christ at the end in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, take this cup from me. It wasn't a very good cup. He didn't expect when he started his mission that he's going to end up be crucified. He says, I'm the Son of God. My Father is heaven, and I am his Son. He's been sent to you to bring this message that you're misusing his words and his kingdom, and you should accept me as his son, as his representative. Make me your king. I am the king of Israel. But the end was the time that he reached a point that not only they did not accept that, they were going to crucify him. And so he said, God can take this cup from me. Immediately he realized that that is the cup God gave you. You just accept it. That's my cup. Thanks, God, for the cup, and I accept that. Not fighting it and say, no, I want another cup, and change my cup to something else. So we can see that the unification of our religion indeed is here, and the way to peace has been given. If you are an elect, you will see this thing clearly and implement in your life. You bring God to your life very strongly. So we can understand this teaching in a greater degree and bring God to our life. The more you bring God to your life, the more one you will become with everybody around you. And the next step is bring more godly people together so you can bring unity. If you are one with God and the people around you are not one with God, it's very hard to be one with them. Actually, they might even bring you down to your ego and again the destruction and disunity. So the goal is to become divine and live with those who are also divine. So the communities of light and all those things are important, and all these teachings and bringing God among us are the way. Okay, Vin is asking Maitreya, I was wanting to know if divorce is a sin, and if the person who commits the act of leaving the relationship for a divorce to another person suffers afterwards. I am asking because ever since my divorce, my ex-wife has begun to look real haggardly and stressed, so I was wondering if there was such a thing. Okay, well, the question if divorce is okay, and especially if you divorce someone for going to someone else. Divorce should be done very carefully evaluated among a couple. It is not something you should be falling too easily. It is a very hard decision to make. The best way is, as Christ said, you should not even divorce. When you marry, that's it. You are still together forever. But of course, that is an idealistic approach to this situation. And there are times that two people really cannot get along. They cannot bring God among themselves. Therefore, their ego come to the point of destructive tendencies, and therefore they will come to the point that no longer their life really is together. They're going to different direction. And if you're going south and I'm going north, if I'm going to God and you're becoming more egoistical, then it cannot be together. We are going to different directions. You're going to the world and ego. I'm going to the spirit and God. There is no compromise there. So in that sense, you will decide, yes, let's go separate ways. But if you just fall in love with another person and leave the family and husband or wife for another person, that is, again, a very egoistical approach in life, and you do not see the beauty of family and sacrifice you have to make for a family to stay together. Of course, if other person, again, is terrible and create an environment that you have no choice but to leave, again, is an individual decision. It is very important for each person or each couple to evaluate the situation and see what they should do in this matter. Of course, in the communities of light, the whole community is involved with the couples. This is a vision that is very alien to many people, that a community is also concerned about your marriage. It's not between you and your husband only to decide, but the community also have a say in the decision. In these cases, the community leaders and elders are going to be very helpful in making the final decision with the couples. Of course, the final decision is between couple. So it should not be done very easily, but there are situations that there is no choice to be done. If you do it very lightly, it does create a great karma, because the couple relationship is based on the ethereal relationship between two people, and ethereal relationship needs commitment and sacrifice and staying together as long as possible without dragging other person from the higher level to lower level. It is a relationship that has to be broken very rarely, and if it's possible, never. But as we said, that is idealistic, and it does happen to a lot of people, especially in the societies that God has left completely. These things have become very easily accepted, and many are done, and they create a great karma. That's why destruction will come to those societies that they put God out and become selfish and do things in a selfish way instead of bringing the consideration of God, which is sacrifice and bringing together and staying together in the marriage and continuing what God has sanctioned and said, you stay together. Then we will see. We will see. Let's wait and let them wait, and you will see that destruction will come to those who will not bring God in their relationship and life. And therefore, if both are godly, they have no choice to become one, compromise, understand, accept their situation, and eventually become one and stay together. And if you leave someone because of other person, that's great sin. That's the very selfish, self-centered, and egoistical thing to do. So we agree with you. That's possible that if she left you for another person, she has created a big karma. Of course, you also have to look at yourself to see what have you done that situation has been created, and maybe don't make the same mistake the next time around. So this always takes two sides, but if these things are done selfishly, they have great destructive end. NY Alone is asking, do you believe that there is a coming back for Jesus? Well, that is not really I'm the person answering that question, because we believe Christ has already returned. And not only he returned again, he returned as Prophet Muhammad, he returned as Bab, his consciousness came through Baba, and now this revelation is presenting the same thing, Christ or the pure consciousness and the revealer of the seven seals. So if you are waiting for him, then you have to look at our website, the revelation, the prophecies, the genealogy, and all the truth that have come through this vessel, and make your mind that you don't have to wait. It's here, it's done, it's finished, the seventh seal is opened, and now it's the time for you to see what was the God's plan to this point, and come and join and meditate and become divine. The time of being Christian, Jew, Hindus, Buddhist, and Muslim is finished. The only acceptable belief is those who become divine. Therefore, we recommend you to go and prove it to yourself in our teaching. Come to this room, come to the other rooms. They're all religions unified. Ask questions and eventually make your mind. NY Alone is asking, how is that he returned as Muhammad? Because it is the same spirit that came through all the prophets. And also, if you read our teachings, that we recommend you do, it's called the holiest of the holies, though the Last Testament, it explains clearly that God gave two promises to both Ishmael and Isaac. That promise was the scepter or messianic position or coming as a prophet, and also a birthright, which was the territorial position for both Isaac and Ishmael. And the messianic or the Shiloh came as Christ, as Esau, which you call him Jesus, which really there is no J in Hebrew, and therefore his name really wasn't Jesus, but as Esau the Christ for the Jews, and he gathered the people as Jacob prophesied he will. God has already also promised Ishmael that he is going to have a territorial position and a prophet will come to him. And territorial position, of course, is from the Saudi Arabia to Middle East to North Africa to Spain and in South America. They're all the children of Arabs. And the prophet came as Prophet Muhammad. So if Christians just recognize that God gave promise to both Ishmael and Isaac, a prophet, then they recognize that, yes, Prophet Muhammad is also from God, and he sent them as the Messiah, as the prophet, as Christ. The same Spirit of God came through both of them. And of course, the territorial position of the Isaac is from Europe to North America, and they came from Israel, and they left there, and the Europe and United States was given to them, and God blessed Esau over all others, and that's why they received the blessing of God, and the grace was with them, that's why they were prosperous more than anyone else. Then, of course, come Bob. Bob also had the same spirit and brought the teaching of universalism. And we can see the same spirit is Christ. Christ came more than once, and Christians are still waiting for him to come. When he has been here at least two more times or three more times, and this is the fourth time the same revelation come from the same spirit to humanity. If you read our teaching and see the word of God, you will see that indeed God has sent all this revelation to humanity. And you have to understand this thing and realize that it's all from God. All religions, all prophets, all messiahs have come from God, and now they are unified. And God has kept it as a mystery of secret to this point. Now that mystery is revealed. That's why the next lifetime, Prophet Muhammad came as a prophet or Christ. Islam actually, if you play with the word, is Lamb. So, Islam is Lamb. Who was Christ? He was the Lamb of God. Win205 is asking, my sir, you have brought me to the point of tears in your elegant answer to my question. Thank you. You are welcome. All thanks go to God. It is His Spirit which brings the elegance and the truth to humanity. And therefore, we give all the credit to Him. With this, of course, we do not create any ego, and we are free to continue our life being in God. And by alone asking, you can say both came from the same source, but this doesn't mean they are one. When something comes from the same source, they have the same material in them. Therefore, in essence, they have the same things at each other. Of course, their missions, you can say, were different. The mission of Christ was threefold, and He was supposed to bring and release the grace back to earth, and especially to those who will gather in the West. And also, He came as Shiloh, to take the kingdom away from the Jews and give it to another nation, also bring the teaching of the sacrifice. Prophet Muhammad came to bring the idea of
surrendering a submission to God. And that is the highest spiritual realization, when you reach a point that you are absolutely surrendered and are submitted to God, and you always realize that it is God doing it through you and you are not the doer. And therefore the ego will be humbled, eventually dissolved in ego, therefore there is no separation between you and God, therefore God comes through 100% pure way. Therefore, by understanding this, we can say it is the same spirit. It is the same thing in different situations, in different teachings. Of course, the teaching of Christ also was more individual teaching. That's why he said, forgive whoever done whatever to you. And Prophet Muhammad's teaching was more social. That's why he said, if somebody slap you, slap them back. So you say, wow, there's two different teaching. It separate them. Christ said, just forgive them. If they ask you for a coat, give your cloak also. If they take you to the judge, go with them. And so be completely forgiving. But Prophet Muhammad said, no, you should not forgive, but fight back. The reason is Prophet Muhammad's teaching was more socially oriented, and therefore our teaching again unifies these two teaching. We teach whatever done to you personally, forgive. But if they have done something that affects the society and it will bring the society in the brink of destruction or affect their people, that should not be forgiven. With this we can see the teaching again united, and what Christ taught is true, and what Prophet Muhammad taught is true also. And therefore we can see all of them are united to one. Again, this room is for discussing the mission of Maitreya. The revelation is been given to humanity, and it is finished. All the revelation is here. Now is the time of implementation. Bring it to every man and woman and child. So the time of implementation is now, and as we implement it, more and more the whole teaching will be spread externally. And again, each of you are there to read it, understand it, and see how you can help, how you can spread in a greater degree based on your abilities, based on your understanding, based on what you can do. But get involved. Do things. Reach out. Preach. Come. Join. Support. So we can get this mission implemented and bring this great teaching to all humanity. Again, I leave you all to God. Be with God. Bring God to your lives. Become one with Him. Teach others become one. And the more you bring people to God and they become godly, you will become one. Your life going to be here, your partner is going to love you, your family is going to be stronger. But the more ego comes in, the more separation. And you all have a wonderful godly week. Salam, everybody.